Blog Talk Radio.
The following program is brought to you with limited commercial interruption.
Hello, 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 everybody out there. When you hear that sound, you know it's time for the Dead Horse Comedy Hour. Hello, boys and girls. Welcome indeed to the Dead Horse Comedy Hour. I am Carla G, and if you have been paying attention at all to some of the posts here on Blog Talk Radio, you know that the guest that we have scheduled today, well, is a special guest. It is comedian Steve White. But you know what? He's not here right now. He's not here. And that happens sometimes, often in the real world. Excuse me, I'm belching. How excellent is that? Anyway, but we will fill the time until he gets here. Excuse me again. Boy, do I sound prepared or what? Maybe it's a good thing he's not calling, because I wouldn't want to be belching in his ear. Anyway, we do have one of our friends from the regular Dead Horse Comedy broadcast. Hello, sir. I don't know if you really want me to tell your name. I like to call you Skip Ritchie. What's up, Skip Ritchie? That would be you. Now he's going to act like he can't talk. Skip Ritchie, that's you? This is going well. Actually, I'm going to have to ask what I had told him was is I was going to postpone things and not call on him, but we had decided that he would be called on. Skip, are you there? That's you.
Hello? Hello?
Yes. Yes, that's you. There you are. Oh, and you know what? It looks like we're good. I do see a number here. Everything looks like it's going to work out. So you know what, Skip? You can stand by if you'd like to. Oh, no. Our caller just hung up again. So
okay, I'm going to hang up.
No, don't hang up just yet. Don't hang up just yet. Give us a second here to get all straight and together and see what's going to happen. Anyway, well, the caller just called. The call that I'm looking for just called, and he was apparently disconnected. So what I'm going to do, you know what, I know what's happening. He's probably calling me on my other phone, which I didn't
Is that the back phone?
That is not the track phone, but that's a good guess. And, you know, what's happening is I'm always distracted at this point in the show, and I do apologize to listeners. You know, if you haven't hosted one of these shows, there are often a lot of things to do. And even though you think you've gotten set up before the show starts, there's always a glitch or two that takes place, which makes a person like myself have to be sidetracked while I'm doing things. Anyway, I was actually trying to call another person and get them on the call, but that's not working out as well. Listen, Skip, just be yourself, and if you don't mind, I know you weren't prepared for this, right? There's a lot going on. Yeah, I know, and I promised that I wasn't going to do this to you, but what had happened was I wasn't able to pull in that other caller. So you know what? If you don't want to participate, that's okay. And what I'm going to do is maybe just find some information, some comedic information to talk about. And maybe
I have some comedic information.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah. Michael Jackson's killer doctor, I think he's going to open up a clinic.
Yes.
And, you know, that should be a great thing, because there's going to be all that economic stimulus money.
Oh, okay.
Should be really great.
That's
you can bring your grandmothers in. get him dopified, and you know,
yes.
He'll take care of it.
Okay.
Then he'll be on the phone talking to people, and you know, while she wastes away, it'll be a really great thing. I think that's what Ted Kennedy, that's what happened to him. He used Michael
right.
Jackson's doctor, and everything was really great.
Okay, that's really sounding very.
Bless his soul.
Bless his soul, exactly.
Ted Kennedy. What?
What? Bless whose soul? What? The doctor? Not Ted Kennedy?
Done.
What? What?
Are you done?
You want to be done? We can be done. I can let you be done. And what I'm going to do is see, you know, I'm even looking for some files that I have to play. I think I have some operatic music that I am going to place here while I step away from the phone for a moment and try to locate another caller. Would you mind holding on the line there, Skip, until I see if I can locate this other person? In the meantime, I do need to announce again. Well,
gotta go.
All right. Okay, you go ahead and go. In the meantime, I do want to announce to folks that, yes, indeed, you are listening to the Dead Horse Comedy Hour. I am Carla G., and, yes, we are expecting comedian Steve White to join us this afternoon if you're in the East Coast time zone, or this morning if you are in points west of in the country. I did hear from Mr. White earlier today, and he did say that something has come up, and we were hoping it really wouldn't delay him, but obviously it has. So we will see what's going to happen. And like I said, what I'm going to try and do, I'm going to experiment right now, play some music that's just been in the bank for the Dead Horse Comedy Hour, and I'm going to try and get another caller on the line, actually. And I do see we do have another live caller. I'm just going to ask him to hold on for a second. I'm going to play this little file. We call it, you know, just some stock music that we have. And I'll be right back, folks. Hang on. Magnificent. Everybody, I love that. Actually, I didn't hear it. I'm lying. I'm kidding. I have another caller. I think I did get him on the line. Ibo, are you on the line?
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. I have, I thought it was another friend of mine, Skip, but he had to go. So now we do have another caller on the line in the, what is this, the 443 area code? Go ahead, caller.
It's Bobby, y'all. What's up, y'all? I really liked y'all show because y'all give me some classical music and important facts because I didn't even know that the Michael Jackson killer doctor was going to open, you know, his own clinic and stuff because I got like a couple people I would like to have you know, dopified down, you know?
Yes, Bobby. Ivo, if you don't know, the previous caller had said, I don't know, something about, what did he say, Bobby? You have to help
he
me.
He said something about he was going to do a clinic, some kind of clinic that was going to be open up in a whole lot of clinics, like, you know, where he would be people who can't sleep. They could come there, and then they could go to sleep like every half hour if they got it, and he would just keep giving them medicine and stuff.
Oh, right, right. You have any
comments? Let's see, because I think they even got a thing that's in the contract, because I kind of read the thing online, right? And if you die, it ain't going to be on him. It's on you. But that means you get the best sleep ever.
Well, yes, but see, Bobby, the thing is you don't wake up from it, right? You get that. I mean, you know this.
That's why they call it the best sleep ever.
Right. Ivo, you have any comments on that?
Actually, no.
Yeah, Bobby, I definitely, you know what, Bobby, I would like to just ask, if you don't mind, what is it that you do for a living? I'm curious about that.
I cannot reveal that. I am a photographer. I like to take pictures and stuff like that.
Okay.
I go to like sports events, and you know, I get the press passes, and I get into a lot of stuff for free because I got the press passes.
Okay, that's cool.
I really impresses the women's with that too.
Really? Well, maybe we'll have to have you on as a guest on our dating show. One of these days, we're going to do a show about dating and the trials and tribulations, men and women.
Yeah. Set that up, because I'm ready for that. I can talk about that for like 2 hours.
I can see that. I can certainly see that. Again, in the middle of all this, I do want to alert all listeners that, yes, you are tuned to the Dead Horse Comedy Hour. We are expecting our guest, Steve White, to call in. We chatted earlier this morning. Something obviously very important has come up, and that has delayed him. But
you know what? I really do like his father. I used to laugh at his father all the time.
Oh, you know his father?
He's a very, yeah, Snappy White, wasn't it? Ain't his father named Snappy White?
You know, because
he was a comedian, used to be on the Merv Griffin Show, and the Johnny Carson Show, and the Mike Douglas Show, and the Arsenio Hall Show, and the,
right.
All of them.
Was he on Sanford and Son? Was he also on Sanford and Son? Or was
that's where I know Slappy White from, Sanford and Son.
Yeah. But you know what, Bobby? I don't think that is his father. We can ask him that, but
it's gotta be. There's only so many whites in comedy.
Yeah, that's true. You got a point there, but I don't think that they're the ones. I don't think that they're related. But Bobby, thanks for your call. You're a regular listener. I appreciate that. Definitely appreciate that you call and support the show. Everyone else, we certainly appreciate the support that we get from all of our anonymous listeners. Again, we are expecting Steve White shortly. Something came up for him, and he has been delayed. So I hope everything will turn out okay for him. But here I am filling the time. And, you know, was prepared, but perhaps not as much as I should have been. Ivo.
Yeah.
I do appreciate you being available here. Hey, what you say, you know, Steve, you know, Slappy White, actually, from Sanford and Son. Have you any particular memories of your own with Steve White by chance, or am I putting you on the spot?
No, not really. I remember seeing him in a scene in Coming to America on the New York City subway system, and I also saw him do an episode of Martin where he played a child's dentist.
Yes.
So I've seen him in a couple of places in a couple of areas on television, and
mm-hmm.
You know, he's quite humorous.
Yes. Well, I'm very excited to have him on the show, and we'll be you know, he's, well, it's like if I reveal anything about him, then we won't necessarily have as much to talk about when he does come on. But he has an award, let's just say. So there are people, he's got several awards, but one that he won recently. So there are folks that agree with you. You know, but we don't necessarily have to limit it. Oh, wow. You know what? There's another call on the line. Let's take this call here. And go ahead, caller.
Hello.
How are you doing today? Yeah, hi.
Hello, how are you?
Great, thank you.
Your topic is comedy today, right?
The topic is comedy, and we are waiting for comedian Steve White. I do want to assure people, folks, this is Carla G talking, and in all seriousness, because I know that the pattern of this show, the Dead Horse Comedy Hour, has been to sort of pretend that, you know, we're doing something serious, and in fact, it ends up being a skit. But this time, for real, there was no skits planned. We are expecting comedian Steve White to join us today. So in the meantime, we are doing what we do here on the Dead Horse Comedy Hour. So I'm saying, in the meantime, we're doing what we do here on the Dead Horse Comedy Hour. What is that? Does anybody know what the Dead Horse Comedy Hour is? Hamana, hamana, hamana. Go ahead, caller. You were saying?
I didn't even know what you were talking about. I couldn't even hear it.
Right, okay.
Anyway, my I used to, hang out with Slappy White when he was a youngster.
Yes.
And I used to know that you know who had the best legs in comedy?
Who had the best legs in comedy, sir?
Moms Mabley.
Yeah.
Little known fact, Moms Mabley had the sexiest legs in comedy.
Now, you know, I would be surprised by that, but I guess I'm looking at it from a prejudiced point of view because, you know, I guess the fact that she had no teeth, I wouldn't think of any other part of her as being really sexy or attractive.
Sexiest legs in comedy. She really
did. You,
did.
Did you hook up with her?
Also, and the thing is, Pearl Bailey used to make her wear them stockings that used to hide her legs.
Yeah.
And
was Pearl jealous, you think? Was that because she was jealous?
Oh, whoa. Everybody was jealous. Dorothy Dandridge used to spit on Moms Mabley.
No way.
It,
how come we haven't had this before?
That's because this is stuff from the old school. Old school.
Old
school.
All right.
Matt,
well,
I interject something here?
Sure.
Yeah, I think the caller is on to something because the fact that Moms Mabley had no teeth would force people to look at her legs and realize that she did have beautiful legs.
You have made an excellent point, Ibo. Excellent. You know, but I can see that, you know, men would do that. You know,
but you know who used to have the best breasts in comedy?
Okay, I'll bite if I dare say that. Who would that have been, sir? And do you have a name, sir? I mean, I didn't catch your name.
I'm not gonna give my name on a public radio thing like this because I have too many people who actually would know who I am, and I'm revealing too many secrets.
All right.
I shouldn't even be saying this.
Well,
but you know who had the best breasts in comedy?
Who would that be?
I know what you're going to say. You're going to say Moms Mabley.
No, she
had the longest.
Oh.
But you know who had the best breasts in comedy? Come on, give me a guess.
I don't know. You're restricting it to comedy. I mean, if you weren't saying comedy, I'd say somebody like Aretha Franklin, but she's not in comedy, so I'm
Jackie Gleason. Jackie okay. Gleason had the best breasts in comedy.
That is wonderful. And
that's
something here.
Yes, yes, please, Ivo.
You know, I find that interesting that the caller would say Jackie Gleason, and relating to the comment that you made about saying when he said, you know who has the best breasts in comedy, and then you said, I'll bite, and then it's Jackie Gleason.
Well.
You would bite Jackie Gleason's breast.
No.
It's very interesting.
I retracted that statement. I realized that I was putting my foot in my mouth as I said that. So I retracted that one.
May I interject something in?
Yes, please do.
I find it interesting that not only would you put Jackie Gleason's breast in your mouth, that you would put your own foot in your mouth.
There I can go with that one.
Very interesting to me.
I'm literally just stumbling over myself, more or less.
You know who had the best hee-haw in comedy?
No, I don't want to know that one.
May I interject something?
Yes, please.
I find it interesting that you said you were stumbling over yourself. Is that because you have the breasts of Aretha Franklin, or? I mean, I don't get it.
Queen Latifah, I don't know. I don't
know. Of course, Milton Berle had the longest, but
come on,
guess. Who had the best hee-haw?
I'm not going to guess that one. I'm not going to try to guess, and I don't really care, to be honest with you there. I don't care. So
I heard that they got pictures of this man's hee-haw in the Smithsonian Institute.
No.
Smithsonian Institution in Washington, D.C.
Okay, I guess you're going to make
you have
me
a
ask.
Guess?
Who is that? No, but you're going to make me ask. So who would that be?
Come on, I need you to guess.
I have no guess. No guess and no guess. I have no guess. Who would that be? I wish I had a drum roll.
It was Oliver. No, it wasn't Oliver. It was Stan Laurel.
Okay. Thank
Laurel and Hardy.
Yes. I get that. I understand. But
But the thing is, Oliver Hardy also had the third best breast in comedy.
Okay. You know what? Let's switch this up, and let's just do a little discussion about perhaps we can go with favorite comedy movie. Sir, whomever you are, how about you just tell us, do you have a favorite comedy? That would be you, sir. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I always thought that Birth of a Nation was the funniest comedy movie they ever made.
Okay.
First.
Hey, what about Blazing Saddles?
Did
you ever find any humor in Blazing Saddles?
Oh no, that was too far-fetched. There were no Negro sheriffs. I'm sorry. There were no Negro sheriffs.
But perhaps it was a film before its time.
May I interject something here?
Oh, yes, please. Please do, sir.
I would have to agree with the caller about the best comedy being Birth of a Nation, because I actually saw that, and I thought one of the funniest scenes I ever saw was these men riding up on these white horses in white sheets. It was hilarious to me.
This is true.
I mean, I'd never seen anything like that before, where grown men would be riding around on white horses in white sheets with pointed hooded hats, and it wasn't even Halloween.
And what's funny is they were trying to be ghosts.
Is that what that was?
They were on horses, and everybody knows ghosts can fly.
You know what?
You've seen Casper the Friendly Ghost. He can fly. You've seen Beetlejuice. He can fly.
But you know what? In defense of the movie, it might have been because they didn't have the technology. They should do a redo of Birth of a Nation now with the computer technology.
Indeed.
Yeah. Now, I think that would be hilarious.
That probably would be.
Yeah, because then you could actually see the ghost flying with the technological advances, i.e. the computer.
You are correct.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Then you can actually make them actual ghosts.
Yeah, exactly.
And that would be quite frank.
But you know what? On second thought, wasn't the series, what was the name of the show, with Leo G. Carroll, the My Favorite Ghost or whatever that was? You remember that show?
No.
Well, it was a series.
Are you talking
called,
about Topper?
Huh?
I think it was called Topper.
Topper, exactly. Topper.
Oh, sure.
Didn't they make the ghost in Topper invisible? And wasn't that like around the same time they did Birth of a Nation?
No.
Okay.
It was a few years between that.
Okay.
Just a short few.
A short few years.
Yes.
Oh, because the technology changes so quickly that it wasn't there yesterday, but it's like there today, is what you're kind of saying?
Kind of saying that. Just making a real announcement, doing a little jump cut here, making a real life announcement. Yes, you are indeed listening to the Dead Horse Comedy Hour. And yes, we are indeed waiting for comedian Steve White to join us here on this broadcast. He did alert me a little bit before the broadcast that something had come up, a slight emergency had come up for him, and he obviously had to handle that. So we are waiting for him. And I actually, I being Carla G, like I said, I'm speaking to you in real time right now. I realized that we were featured on Blog Talk Radio today, so I had to make the decision, do I postpone the show and wait for him to come on, or do we go live at 12:30 as scheduled and just pull him into the show that way? And that was my choice.
Well, may I interject something in?
Yes, you may, sir. Yes.
Did you check to see if you could get Slappy White on the show? Talk about
Slappy.
His son, Steve White.
Well, you know, how apropos that we were talking about ghosts just moments before. If Slappy White were to join us on the show, it would be in ghost form. And while he probably wouldn't mind, the ghost wouldn't mind, it's just that I'm not sure that we'd be able to mic him up properly because, you know, we wouldn't be able to put the microphone or the phone, it would be kind of troublesome. That's all I can say about that.
Well, considering the technology, couldn't you have him, like, calling on a cell phone or something?
Oh, wait a minute.
Hunts Hall.
Hunts
Hall.
Hold on, caller. What was that, Ivo? You said what?
I was saying, but considering the way the technology is now, couldn't Slappy have called in like on a cell phone or something?
Well, it's just that because he is in another realm, it just would have been taking a little bit longer to get a hold of him.
What about the iPhone? Don't they have like those icons that you can move around where he could call from realm to realm?
Well, I this is true, but still, I would have had to hold a seance and do the whole thing to get him. I'm sure he would have been agreeable to doing the show. It's just that I didn't realize that I just didn't have enough time to catch up with him.
Oh, okay. Maybe he might have been doing another show, like maybe in the Catskills or something.
Probably, because I think he made a career at doing his work in the Catskills. Caller, you were saying, I'm sorry I had to cut you off there, but what was that you said? Oh, there is no caller. He has hung up. I didn't mean to hang up on him. But, you know, Ibo, yeah, I thought it would be good to talk about some of the greatest comedy films ever made. One of my favorites is certainly Blazing Saddles.
Okay.
And, you know, for various reasons. I would say what comes to mind also is Airplane.
Okay.
of course, any of the Monty Python films. I don't know. I guess the main one was probably, what was the main one? The
Holy Grail.
Holy Grail. Yeah.
One of my favorite comedy movies was a Mel Brooks film called History of the World Part 1.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
yeah. Where he parodies the history of the world. And
That was on recently. That was on.
It comes on all the time on AMC.
AMC, that one, and Blazing Saddles.
Blazing Saddles come on.
The problem, though, with those shows, or with airing those on TV, is that, you know, they've got to bleep out some of the things.
Yeah, exactly.
You kind of miss the real jokes.
Well, that's the sadness of it, you know, to format them to television.
Yeah,
that's the
yeah.
sadness of, you know, people like to butcher comedy, which is the reason why I was interested in your guest coming on to get his point of view about butchering comedy, you know.
Yes, yes. But, well, I hope we do get his point of view because, again, in now I'm jump cutting again, folks, in the real world, we are really expecting comedian Steve White to join us. And I just keep repeating this so that anybody who happens to be tuning in at any given moment and you're like, hey, where's Steve White? That's a good question, but I'm not holding that against him. He did alert me earlier today that he was going to be late. We didn't know how late. So as the producer of the show, I thought it was best to go ahead and go on at 12:30 and stall for time and wait for him to appear. So that was my decision. But, yeah, so jump cutting back now to you know, being in character, I guess. Ivo.
Yeah.
The sad part is that, yes, in television land nowadays, unless it's airing on something like an HBO or one of the formal movie channels where they don't have to do any editing editing. It is too bad because some of the main jokes are missing. And especially in films, the Mel Brooks films, you know, his profanity is harmless, you know. and so it's too bad that when they air something like Blazing Saddles on, I want to say that, I don't know, if, I guess it's AMC that it comes on a lot, you know. Unless you know the movie, you can still laugh. But there's still plenty to laugh there.
Yeah, well, you know, to go just on a tangent of what you said, most profanity, I think all profanity is harmless. It's just that people tend to escalate it because of the manner of which it's used.
Mm.
But I find profanity to be very funny. And,
well, it is.
You know, because, you know, you can say, like you can call somebody a mother, you know, effer,
mm-hmm.
and they probably never touched that person's mother, you know?
Ah.
Yeah, you know.
There you go. Hey, listen, we have a caller. It's not the caller we're expecting, Steve White, but let's take this call and see who this is. Hello, caller.
Hello? Hello?
Hello.
I think that profanity should not be tolerated on the public airwaves. And I say that because it's so disgusting.
Okay, I got a question. Am I speaking with a male or a female?
This is Gladys, and I refuse to say where I'm from.
Oh, you don't have to say where you're from. I just didn't know whether...
Because I know you're going to get into my business, and I know you're going to start cussing me out as soon as... As soon as I hear it from here, you're
okay.
just going to be on my circus.
Well, can I ask a follow up question?
Oh, yes, please. Go ahead.
You know, why would a bitch like you be concerned about using profanity in the movies or on the radio?
Sir?
Why would you be so concerned,
sir,
you know, a bitch like you that they use profanity on the
radio? You disgust me.
Okay.
And I hope that you get Michael Jackson's doctor and he gives you too much of that dopafan and whatever, and then you never wake up.
Wow. Bims are fighting words. Glad.
And if you notice, I did not use any curse words at all when I was doing it.
And we're very proud of you, Gladys. You know, well, what it means when you don't use profanity, I guess, is this is what a lot of people like to say, is that you show that you have, education. You know, you're an educated person because you're able to come up with the proper words. So that's good, Gladys. That's good.
You know, I have educated people that use profanity a lot.
Actually, that is true. I have a nephew who has a doctorate from the University of Michigan, and he uses curse words all the time. And I'm trying to get him not to, and he just keeps going. I don't understand it.
You know what's sad about all of this?
What
is that people don't use curse words in the appropriate places.
Hmm.
You know, when you're just arbitrarily cussing somebody, and that's what makes using profanity bad. Like, if you notice, when I addressed the caller, I called her a bitch, and it was appropriate because she's just a bitch on the radio opposing profanity.
Yes.
Actually, I think I understand what he's talking about because I think there needs to be a more proper use of curse words. I think that people, I think that they have, cursing has kind of lost its it's shock value. I think the value of shocking someone, because that used to be the main reason why people used to use curse words.
Okay.
And now, everybody and their mother is using them. And I just don't, it just totally freaks me out.
I got you, Gladys. Well, I definitely appreciate your call. And you know what?
When I was at church the other day,
Gladys, hang on.
The minister actually used the curse word. The A word. He used the A word, and it was he just used it like it was nothing.
What,
and we, everybody in my row was totally, we were demoralized. We were totally offended. I couldn't believe it. But everybody's cursing now.
You're right.
But
hey,
you know what? The pastor said it right. If there's assholes sitting in the pew that you're sitting in, why not call them out?
All right. Hey, listen.
I have to go.
All right, Gladys. Thank you so much. I actually do have another call on the line. And, again, before I take the call, I want to step out of the little character that we're attempting here. And in the real world, announce that you are listening to the Dead Horse Comedy Hour. I am Carla G. And we are waiting for comedian Steve White to join us. He is the scheduled guest for the show today. Obviously, we're also going to run the show a little bit longer until he does show up. He had an emergency. I was alerted of that. He had an emergency come up, and we were certainly hoping that he would make it to the show. And indeed, we are really expecting him. But let's take a call here in the 862 area. Go ahead, caller. Thanks for listening and calling in. Did you actually want to say something? I'm now realizing that the prompt wasn't up. Did the caller in the 862 area want to have a comment?
No, it's cool. I'm just listening. Thank you.
Okay. I'll just put you back on hold then. Sorry about that.
No problem. Thanks.
All right, but we are actually waiting for Steve White. As I've been announcing, he did call me earlier in the morning just a little bit before the show started, to let me know that something had come up, so he was going to be delayed, and I certainly hope he makes it in shortly. But I thank you for tuning in, and I'm just going to put you back on pause there, or hold.
Doesn't he go by the name Steve I Ain't White?
I did. Yes, he does. Steve Ain't White. That is.
Yeah, Steve Ain't White.
Yes. Maybe that explains a few things of his tardiness. Oh, no, I didn't. You know, see, the thing is that he's not here to defend himself, so I don't really want to make too many comments about him not being here.
You don't want to make comments about him not being there or not being white.
Oh, either one of those.
Well,
about not being here. I don't, you know, until he's here. When he gets here, then I can maybe, you know, run off some jokes about him not being here, and I'm sure he'll be prepared.
Oh,
I'm sure he'll be waiting for that. But again, in this real world announcement, yes, we are really waiting for Steve White. The show would actually be on the verge of ending right about now, but when he called, I had explained to him that I could extend the show a little bit longer and that we would certainly try and wait for him. And I really do hope he makes it, especially since it, you know, the whole show is featured on the homepage for Blog Talk Radio.
You know what I'm wondering?
What's that?
I'm kind of wondering how come he'd be named Steve Black if he ain't white.
That is something that we will go into. We're going to ask the really deep, gritty questions to find out what it's like growing up white in America. And we'll see what he says on it. At least I hope to see what he says on it.
I can tell you what it's like growing up when you ain't white in America.
Oh, well, yeah. You know, it's funny. I think he kind of has the dual perspective on that. But you know what? Since we've had a couple callers, I haven't actually put out the call-in number because in typical fashion, the Dead Horse Comedy Hour, we do sketches on the show, so we don't necessarily take calls. But I will open the line up. It's difficult, folks. I will announce for me to actually do the chat room and all the couple of other things that one has to do hosting the show. So I don't have the chat room open. But if you do want to call in, the phone number is 646-716-4732. And I'm thinking that we can segue into talking about comedians and perhaps funny movies and what people think is funny, who people think are funny. And, you know, we were talking about some of the movies. Some other movies, I think I was saying, I left off with Monty Python and the Holy Grail. Some other movies, I have to admit that I definitely like Mel Brooks movies, but another movie that comes to mind, which it's a very stupid movie, but Caddyshack. I really like Caddyshack and Bill Murray. Bill Murray is one of those guys that doesn't have to do anything. He just, to me, is funny. You know, he's funny looking.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, did you think he just looked funny?
I do.
Oh, okay.
I do. And, you know, I don't mean it in a bad way. And not that I'm sure he's probably been told that in his life. But he just has a, I don't know, if that's what's regarded as an impish sort of a face. I don't know. He just looks like he's about to do something. And there's something about his face that makes me laugh. It was the same thing with Richard Pryor. There was something in Richard Pryor's eyes that looked like he was up to something, sort of an impish face, and he just looked funny. Have you any comments? Oh, but if you have a comment, Ibo, we can take it. If not, I have another call.
I think in the Richard Pryor case, I think it wasn't so much of whether he was up to something. I think it was more like what was up in him.
No, you didn't just say that. Once again, you're speaking about a man who is not here to defend himself.
Well, can he call in?
Well, again, this would be in ghost form, and we don't have the line in the system hooked up for ghost callers, okay?
Oh, okay.
So anyway, let's take this call here. And go ahead, caller, go ahead. You are on the line. You are partaking in the Dead Horse Comedy Hour, where we await the arrival of comedian Steve White. Yes, caller?
Hans Wall had the stinkiest feet of all the comedians. I'm talking about Hans Wall from the Bowery Boys.
Uh-huh.
In the 40s.
Okay.
Hans Wall
had
the stinkiest feet.
Are you like one of the former Bowery Boys to know this, or you read this online? How do you know
this? I only know this because they refused to let me in. I didn't pass the audition.
So what you're saying is that you are just passing along some mean-spirited yakety-yak because you weren't allowed to get into the program. Is that what you're telling me? Is that what I'm saying?
May I just say something right here, please?
Yes, I
kind of agree with the caller, because all of the Hunts Hall movies that I've ever seen, none of the Bowery Boys ever suggested taking a bath.
Ah, okay. Hey, well, listen, you know what? What I'm going to do, my phone is ringing, and you guys are going to hear me take this call. It's Mr. White. Hello, Mr. White. I'm tedium, yes. Folks, he said it's tedious.
Is it tedious or titty?
Oh, okay, so you're out of there. All right, well, I actually am on the air, so I'm speaking to you in my right ear, and the listening audience can hear me out of my left ear. And so what I'm going to do is ask you to call in to the show, and we will get started, and there you have it. I'm so excited. Yes, you will need to call in to the other number. But everybody knows that number. It's the 646-716-4732 number.
Are you really having another phone call, or are you just putting us on hold just to, for whatever reason?
I'm really on the phone. Yes.
Is it a personal call?
Yes. Well, all right, thanks. Bye.
Yes, was it a personal call?
That was really Steve White on the line. So
personal call.
Well, it was a personal call, yes, during the show.
So you was having a personal call on the air?
Having a personal call on the air, yes.
Wow.
And but he's actually that was Steve White. He's
whatever happened to professionalism?
Well, you know, well, that is professionalism. We have migrated to where you're not important unless you take a phone call during the middle of something important, and take swigs of water, you know, and use language like swig. So here we go.
Oh, okay. I see. I get your point. Yeah.
I need to get all the rudeness out of the way and before he arrives, because you know we don't want him to know what we really behave like, do we? Anyway, folks, I definitely want to thank everybody who's there holding and listening, and he's finally going to be here. Mr. White is calling in now. He should have made the call by now. But I'm sure he'll be here any second now. Oh, and there he is. So I'm going to click him in, and there we go. Are you there?
I'm here.
Hello, and welcome to another exciting edition of the Dead Horse Comedy Hour. I'm glad you made it.
I am alive and well.
I'm glad. I was hoping that everything was turning out okay, and I do appreciate that you still managed to come on despite your issue.
With faith, nothing is impossible. I'm yanking off my tie and yanking off my blue shirt. I am out of the courtroom, and I'm sitting here on the curb on a sunny day in Southern California. Glad to be out of there. I know why they pay lawyers that money, just to sit down and be kicked around for a while. But good to be out and free.
Yeah, but at least you're not in handcuffs, and you're not
wearing orange.
Exactly. You're wearing blue
exactly.
And not orange. Okay. But you do still have some clothes on, because you said you're taking off your shirt. And even though, I'm going to go with it, even though you're a white guy, you don't necessarily look like a white guy, so you want to be committing any crimes right now, like walking around nude. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
We might have on a wife beater.
Uh-oh. So you're in L.A.
Not to be confused with being a wife beater.
Yes.
Yeah,
oh,
that would be terrible.
Yeah.
Steve, I do happen to have some other folks on the line. Actually, it's one of the fellows that joins me on the Dead Horse Comedy Hour. Because what I had decided to do, here's some things that I'm going to clue you in real quick on this, and then we're going to get started. When I spoke with you, I was not aware that today's show, your appearance on today's show, had made the top pick of the day. You know, it's one of the main picks on Blog Talk Radio today. So that I discovered, yeah, I mean, I'm very excited about that. We're very proud. And so after having discovered that, or I discovered that after talking to you, and if I had known that before talking to you, I might have actually made a different suggestion as far as, you know, how to work this out. But when I saw that that was, you know, on the homepage, and that means that everybody sees that, there's a lot of folks out there listening, I thought, oh, my goodness, I really do need to just go ahead and log on at 12:30. So we have one of the fellows, we call him Ivo Schism, who happens to be here on the line. And because of the arrangement and the hookup and all that kind of stuff, unless he hangs up, he's on the line. I can't really get rid of him. And we don't necessarily want to. But anyway, so we're...
Hey, that sound like a threat.
No, it's not a threat. But you're okay with that, right, Steve?
Oh, with Mr. Ivo Schism? Absolutely. No problem. I'm a team player. I was looking around for Chris Brown because he's supposed to be out here picking up garbage.
Oh, and that's a true statement, isn't it?
Yeah, he's got to do some community service, some labor.
Some hard labor.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear it's some hard labor.
Ivo mentioned the wife beater. That made me think about Chris Brown.
You know, the poor guy. I don't know if it's the poor guy. I guess the person that's the poor person is Miss Rihanna.
Well, if you think about it, based on what he's done, he probably will be a poor guy soon.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Who's going to want to put their hands on him now? Didn't Wrigley spam and gum drop him?
They did.
Yeah.
There goes the gum money.
Yeah, but he'll always be able to get the residuals.
But the irony is that Wrigley spam and gum dropped him, and now he has to pick up Wrigley spam and gum in his community
which
service.
Which doubles his pleasure.
And his fun.
Oh, it's beautiful. All right, listen here. So I have this little intro sort of prepared here. So I guess I'll just head on into that. And I was going to let folks know that we weren't going to be doing sketches today. And instead, we were going to have someone whom we've all seen hosting the legendary Soul Train. We've seen you on Oprah. We've seen you on Hanging with Mr. Cooper, on Def Comedy Jam, Showtime at the Apollo, Martin, the Jamie Foxx show, in film. Your first film appearance was in Coming to America with Eddie Murphy. And we've seen you in several Spike Lee movies, including Do the Right Thing, Mo Better Blues. Anyway, and Malcolm X, where you also happen to serve as a director's trainee. And if that wasn't enough, you are the winner of what has been referred to as the most prestigious comedy competition in the country, the San Francisco International Comedy Competition. What's that?
Wow, that's a lot. Where is this guy? I want to meet him. I want to meet this guy.
Well, that would be you, sir. C. White. Yay, C. White. Hey.
Yay.
All right, C. White, yay. Woo-hoo. Hello,
golf clap. Hello, CGs.
And thank
What's
you so much for stopping by. Hey,
absolutely.
You know, and since you just came out of court there, can I get you anything, you know, like a warm towel or a martini, anything?
I'll take a Sunny D and vodka.
All right. Hang on. We'll get it stirred up there, and we'll get it to you in a minute now. Chris Brown will be bringing it by, so just look for Chris. There it is. All right. Well, look. Well, congratulations on winning that the San Francisco International Comedy Competition. You know, I would guess that with winning something with the word international in it, that means that you beat out comics from all over the planet. And so just how much has your chest expanded with that impressive victory?
16 inches, to be exact.
Wow.
I was especially happy when I beat up on the German guy, because it is international, and of course I was representing Ghana.
Okay.
So basically, it was a bunch of white guys and me, but I guess they had Irish and German and Polish blood, so it's an international comedy festival.
But see, when you say, now I, and, you know, I am not trying to be on here and battle it out with you with the jokes or anything, but I am someone who's just, this is kind of what I do. And so when you say it's just a bunch of white guys and we know you're a stick, then I say, so it's still just a bunch of white guys. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah, it's okay. But so really, how does that work? And first of all, winning the competition, such a competition, what exactly does that mean now for you? I mean, do you get more gigs? Do you make bigger demands? You make more money? You know, what does that mean when you win such a competition for your career?
I'm going to go ahead and say yes, because I don't want to say no to anything you said, which would cancel it out in the universe. So
right.
I say yes to more money, more notoriety, more everything. Back in the day, it was a little bit more prestigious winning the San Francisco International Comedy Festival, because you were guaranteed a shot on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson and then Jay Leno.
Right.
They took that away. So
yeah.
I'm guaranteed a shot on a shot of 5-hour energy if I want to have that. So I got to go out and hustle a little bit more and make sure people know that I won the competition and have my people, agents and managers, let people know to get out there, because there's a whole lot more comedians. And don't get me wrong. I'm Dana Carvey, Robin Williams. These are people that have won and have been in first, second place for the International Comedy Festival. I'm stoked that I won it.
Right.
I could use that shot on Conan now, but they took it away. But
right.
I still got money. I got money.
Hey. Oh, okay. So it is a monetary award as well, not just the certificate or something.
Right, exactly. Monetary award and more gigs, you know. More people know about it, so I can put that on the resume and get more gigs, you know.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Cool. And you are the current champion. This is correct, right?
That's correct.
So do you compete again to maintain it, or how does that competition work?
No, they'll do a whole new bunch of guys this year. They may have me come in as the celebrity host of the finals or something like that. So I could,
mm-hmm.
Here's a former winner, Steve White. But, yeah, it resets every year with a new group of guys. It starts out with about 32 comedians, and it boils
okay.
itself down to one.
And how does it work? I mean, what do you have, you apply, and what's the process of that?
You could apply online, or you could send the promoters a DVD as an entry, and then they pick out the ones, I guess, that they think are the funniest or the most international.
Mm-hmm.
And you start out doing shows in and around the Bay Area. So it's not just in San Francisco, which makes it a little bit more fair for guys that don't live in the city, because there's some San Francisco comics that kill in San Francisco, and it wouldn't be fair to the other guys coming from, you know, around the world. So you go
mm-hmm.
You go as far west as as far east as South Lake Tahoe. We did some theaters in Northern California. We did a couple of shows in San Francisco, but we were also in the surrounding areas. So we did big
mm-hmm.
venues, small venues, and every time the judges were picked from that area. So it wasn't like we had the same judges at each of the venues. It would change
okay.
every night we did shows. And then the guys with the highest score would advance, and the other ones would be sent to the Dragons.
Uh-huh. Okay. And so as a comedian, well, when you're participating in this, I mean, you're not really telling telling the same jokes every night, or are you realizing what's working and what's maybe not working?
Yeah, well, what you're doing is, like, when in Tahoe, I have more some gambling jokes that I would do that I wouldn't necessarily do in San Francisco. So you got to be smart about it, but you want to have kind of a consistent set so you can, you do your A stuff every night.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of, just because of my ADHD, I kind of like to switch it up just so I don't hear myself saying the same thing over and over and over again.
Right. And are you performing in front of an audience as well, or just some judges?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh no! Oh, in front of an audience, packed houses, at all the venues.
Does the audience know as a competition in process, or they're just
coming
they
to
the show? Yes,
they do. No, they know that it's part of the San Francisco International Comedy Festival.
Hot diggity! All right, so let's trace the route to this achievement. So you grew up in Roosevelt, Long Island, home of Eddie Murphy, Howard Stern.
Dr.
And some
J,
other people.
Public Enemy, Chuck D, Flavor Flav, Steve White, Aaron Hall from Guy, a bunch of people.
A bunch of people, yes. And you, Stephen, you were naturally funny?
Yes, but I was.
Okay. And so would you say that just being naturally funny is enough to succeed? Of course not. So,
absolutely not. As my famous acting teacher, Larry Moss, would say, it's not enough to have a talent. You have to have a talent for your talent.
And you said, what does that mean, Mr. Moss?
And he said, you have to be smart about the business and of show. It's called show business, not business show. But it should be called business show because, you know, there's things to be taken care of. Promoting yourself, you know, working out as far as staying on stage and keeping that comedy muscle lubricated.
Watch it now. It's a family show. No, go ahead.
You know, we never discussed that either. I was like, can we have language on this show? But,
I vote yes.
Oh, yeah.
We can have language on this show, yes. So you're saying
there were a lot of kids that were funny on the block that aren't necessarily stand-up comedians, you know.
Right. Yeah. So there is an art to being funny. Can you describe that art, you know? And I know, for example, you know, the timing has a lot to do with comedy. Do you think timing is really the key to being funny, or, you know, what?
Yeah.
I asked a lot of questions. Pick one. I don't know.
No, it definitely is timing.
Yeah.
And, you know, timing and phraseology, irony, and, of course, racism.
There you go. You got it from... Racism and maybe a little bit of sexism. And the phone likes to get in on the action as well.
I was wondering what that was. Is the phone racist?
I don't know what that was. I don't know who that was. I don't think it was my phone because it would have been louder in my ear. But that's okay. There's a lot of things that happen here on Blog Talk Radio, so we appreciate all the sound effects, et cetera. And did that martini arrive there yet? I'm not sure.
No, actually, no, it didn't. So I'm going to take matters into my own hand and just do a little bit of heroin. Just a little
bit. Okay. All right. Yeah. We don't not too much. And whatever you do, please, you know what I'm going to say? Don't make it propofol because then we won't be able to finish the interview. And,
oh, my God.
I waited a while for you, and I really do want to finish it, so hold off on that one for a while. Let's go back. So your teacher, Mr. Moss, had explained to you that you can't just be funny. It's not just being funny, and you're saying timing is part of it. You need to know some business. How did you pull all this together? Yeah?
I'm still pulling it together.
You're still pulling it together.
You know. There's no there, meaning, you know, once you get somewhere, you got to keep ascending. So there's no, hey, I finally made it, you know. There isn't, you know. It's creativity, and how can you be done with creation? So it's a matter of going out again and redefining yourself, redefining myself. That's what I did with the comedy festival, with the recession and all this, chazarai taking place. I said, you know what? All right. I'm not going in on this audition, but nobody could tell me I can't grab this microphone and tell jokey. So I went back to doing the thing that I love and do best. So that was having a talent. That was having a talent for my talent. Now many people said, "Why are you doing the comedy festival? That's beneath you, man. You've been doing comedy 20 years." Well, that's ego, and the ego will fuck you up if you let it. So I told my ego, "Thank you for sharing. This is what we're doing." And I went out there and I crushed him.
There you go. And you feel good. You feel good. That's
good.
I mean, that's a great
accomplishment. I've been in a couple of movies and stuff like that, but the next guy that's going to give you a job or next girl that's going to give you a job may not have been alive when Do the Right Thing came out in theaters. So you can't, you know, you can't walk in there and go, "Hey, I was in this movie that was filmed in 1989. You know?
Yes.
Al Pacino works out. Al Pacino puts out new plays and workshop plays and starts from the beginning. So if Al has to do it, chances are that Steve White will have to do it as well.
Yeah, and that's a good point. I think that's a good point for people really in the entertainment industry, and really I would say any profession, is that, you know, reinventing yourself and constantly keeping your chops up is just sound advice. It's a good idea. I kind of wish I'd taken that advice. That's another story. This is about you, Steve White, who is joining us here on the Dead Horse Comedy Hour. Well, you answered something that I was going to ask before, or ask later, was that you're not you've not ever necessarily there, but you'd certainly consider yourself having succeeded. You would say you are a successful comedian, yes?
I'm there. The phone is doing something nutty, but I'm there.
Yes. But you would certainly consider yourself a successful person.
Or
maybe not. Or not.
Or not. That's my favorite term. Or not.
Yeah.
You know, to be dedicated to something and put your shoulder behind it and be 100% for it and go, you know, or not.
Or not. Yeah.
Or not. It is successful. Do I have to work? Do I have to go out there to work to make money to continue to put food on table? Yes. Does successful mean everybody knows who I am? Obviously not. Because I bumped into a bunch of people. You won the San Francisco Comedy Festival? I didn't know that. Well, maybe I'm not successful. CG.
Well, now, see, I wouldn't have known that you had won that, but I know who you are. So for me, I would say you were successful because, you know, you are someone that we've seen in movies. And that's always a barometer, I think, is that when the layperson is seeing someone in film and TV or hearing you on the radio, then, oh my gosh, they're successful. And so I think it's okay if you own up to that. But then
why does it have to be the white person that sees me on television or hears me on the radio? Why couldn't it just be any person?
I didn't say a white person. Did I say a white person?
You said the way person. I was making funny fun.
Well, let's blame that one on the phone breaking up just enough where I didn't quite understand your word. Okay. That's what happened there. We'll just blame it on that one. But so what would you describe how would you define success?
I'm known enough just not to get robbed. I'm the guy that right in the middle of the stick up, the guy would go, "Oh wait, that's the guy from, hold on, where do I know you from? All right, here's your money back." So it might just save me from getting robbed, but it's definitely not Will Smith stop in the street, sign my bare chest.
Yes.
I'm not there yet.
Well, now think about it. Would you want that kind of success? Would you want Michael Jackson type of notoriety?
No. Yeah. I'll take Warren Buffett cash, and you don't have to know who the hell I am. I'll be on my yacht.
Right. Because you still get to live your life and can go into the store and can stand out and with your shirt off and that kind of thing. Yes, I would guess.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I would never want that. And people, you know, don't know what they're signing up for. Lindsay Lohan, whoever, And then they complain about the walls, and they you can't go outside, and the paparazzi, blah, blah, blah. You designed it like that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You designed it like that. There's plenty of people that are popular that you see all the time, but they can walk down the street, you know, and have a lot of money. I mean, Magic Johnson walks out. I've seen him walk down the street. Sure, people know him, but it's not like, you know, somebody's going to try to shank him or what have you.
Well, you do realize he's rather tall. Yes,
yes, he is rather tall.
Yeah.
And he has a Magic Johnson.
Oh, no. I walked into that. Oh, no, I don't want to walk into that either. No. Let me stop. No.
Timing.
No. All right.
You walked right into a Magic Johnson.
No,
what
stop.
A day you're
I don't
want to.
No. I did. That's not good. Or, yeah, never mind. Let's get off that subject because no matter what I say, we'll just move on to.
Saw that another. One coming.
Yes. We'll move on. So you think, okay, success is sort of indefinable for you. If you were not a comedian, then what would success be for you? What would you be doing if you weren't a comedian? What do you think you'd be doing if you weren't a comedian?
Wanting to be a comedian. More acting, definitely. It's not the same muscle, but it's just as frightening but rewarding at the same time. That's what comedy and acting is. It's frightening and rewarding at the same time.
And rewarding
so
in what sense?
Well, actually, nowadays, with the stand-up comedy, I'm actually feeling more like a civil servant. Like it's my duty to be society's mirror and with what's going on and just relieving some of the angst that a lot of people show up at the club with. And just, you know, they always said comedy was the best medicine, but I'm really seeing it now with the wars and rumors of wars and recessions and rumors of recessions.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great place to see people just, you know, just leave all that their burdens at the door and just smile and become one for a few fleeting moments, but it's great when it happens in that moment, and there's nothing better.
Yeah. Well, you know, that leads me to another question I was going to ask here. Some comedians are angry and funny, and some do physical comedy. Some tell humor stories based on observation. Your humor, where does it come from?
Other people.
How do you develop your humor?
I just steal jokes. George Carlin, Richard Pryor, and Chris Rock rolled up into one.
Okay, and you just sort of retell them a little bit, huh?
No, I'm kidding.
yeah, I know that.
I've learned how to trust myself more, my voice more, which is scary sometimes because a lot of people think I'm going to be a certain way, and when I'm not, and I come off as a little this guy at my last show, he's like, deal with it. You're an intellectual. Just deal with it. I was like, thank you, I guess. It was a guy at the end of the show who enjoyed the show, and it was up in Silicon Valley, so there's a lot of engineery type, nerdy type people up there. And I just happened to do a whole bit on the periodic table. Why?
Okay.
I don't know. We just ended up there. So we're naming inert gases and, you know, magnesium and boron and neon. And we just had a fun time with it, and I flowed with it. And at the end of the show, the guy was like, you're hysterical. You have a wonderful voice. Don't stop doing what you're doing, but you're an intellectual. Deal with it. I was like, okay, right. I guess I'm an intellectual.
Okay.
I'd be smart.
Yeah. I'm laughing because I have an interesting take on that. So how then do you write a joke? Do you sit in front of a piece of paper? Do you just observe and you're talking into a microphone? What is the joke writing process for Steve White?
It's definitely not the more Seinfeldian way of doing it, which is sit in front of a piece of paper, write laundry on top of it, and then write 20 minutes about, hey, laundry's funny, you have a Louis Vuitton sock, blah, 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 blah. Nothing against them. And, hey, as a matter of fact, more power to them for being able to describe like that. I don't do it that way. I live it. I see it. I throw it on stage. I let it fall. I let it flop. I let it die. I try to still work with it and changing some words here and there, and then try to find a bit. You know, I try to do things that seem funny to me. I have a wife and twins now, so that's ripe with stuff. And I have, you know, boy-girl twins, which is, you know, even more funny because people always come up to me and ask me if they're identical. And I was like, yeah, my daughter has a beautiful penis. How could she, you know, things like that happen all the time. So you go, okay, how can I make that funny? And I just did.
Yes, you did.
I observed. They're 5 3/4.
Oh, I thought you were going to say 5 3. And I'm like, wait a minute. He just said they're twins. What?
Okay. They're twins. My wife just had a very long labor.
5 3/4. Ah. Now, all right. So I can segue into, you said the P word, so, which is not a profane word, but I'm just going to say it like that. The P word. So I'm going to go with another P word, profanity. We mentioned it earlier. You do use it, and that's something that, you know, it can be a touchy subject for some people. You know, there's folks out there who are like, why do they got to be bruising, cussing all the time? Why do they got to curse? Obviously, you use it, so we know what you think. But do you have a hard stance on the use of it? I mean, do you have an argument one way or the other? Does it matter?
You don't know what I think, lady. Don't try to sneak that by me. We know what you think. Always trying to label and pigeonhole a brother or not brother.
There you go.
Profanity for me is strictly Lowry seasoning salt. Too much of it, you're not going to taste the entree. A little Mrs. Dash here makes it. Thank you for getting that. Makes it, you know, go down a little bit better. But I don't swear by it. You know, swear by it. And I've done great shows without it. When I have to get super conscious and say, okay, you can't say any profanity, not one word, then my brain kicks in and it becomes more of a limiting thing. And it's like, it's like saying, all right, get through your day without saying the. Okay, you could do it, but you would be choppy and maybe not as smooth if you couldn't say that word, you know?
Right. Yeah. And earlier we were saying
Andrew Dice Clay, you know, I'm not Andrew Dice Clay, but I'm not as squeaky clean as whoever, but you know,
Cosby maybe
little dash here and there, never hurt.
Yeah. Okay, that sounds great. Now, so and then moving on to something else. So you do have a family, and they count on you to feed them, I'm sure, and clothe them, as I'm sure you count on yourself to feed yourself and clothe yourself and put a shelter over your head. So, but going back to when you were starting out in comedy, how much support did you have pursuing this?
From my mother and father?
Sure, from family, from friends, from anybody. Who supported you, and how did they show their support or not?
I remember when I first told my father I wanted to be a stand-up comedian, and it was on the lawn in Long Island, and he was cutting the grass and had spent thousands and thousands of dollars for my education at Adelphi University. I was an accounting major, really. And I told my dad, I said, I want to be an accountant. He's like, well, you're always funny. Whatever you want to do, you'll be successful at. I was like, wow. That's all he said. I thought it was going to be like, what? Are you crazy? We spent all this money for blah, 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 blah. But he said, no, whatever you want to do, you'll be successful at. And, you've always been very funny. It's like, well, thanks, Dad. You know?
Great. Yeah.
I thought it was going to be a big moment, but it was just like, yeah, you're good at whatever. Now finish the breath, damn it.
That's right. And he probably... that's good. I mean, that's good that he was supportive of that, of you in that. And then friends. Now, friends, you know, they're always kind of not supportive. They want to be supportive, but they're not. Anybody going against you when you were in those early years?
We used to do snapping on the corner, you know, which is your mama jokes and all that stuff. And so I was I tend to think that I was almost funnier in that form because it was just like strictly improvisational, street corner snapping, come up with it in the moment. And then stand-up comedy became more regimented. It had like set up punchline, timing, story,
right.
You know, it wasn't as free, so I was conforming to it from the opposite end as opposed to, you know, going at it from the opposite end, which makes
right.
sense to everybody.
Right.
But so I had all my friends were like funny with snapping and stuff like that, but none of them wanted to become comedians. So I didn't catch
mm-hmm.
any resistance. I didn't catch any resistance from them, and if I did, it worked its way into bits, you know, because
right.
we always had, I got this friend named Chris who always blah, 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 blah. You know, and, you know, you change their name to protect their identity. But, you know, if I had any resistance, I used it for the betterment of my own craft.
Ah, oh, so spectacular. Well, did you ever consider that this would not happen for you? Did you ever consider that you wouldn't be able to make the money? You know, make a living out of it, I should say.
Still looking forward to doing that. you know, the recession, the quote-unquote recession helps you to remember what's important and what's real. And stand-up
yeah.
comedy bounced right back into the front of my brain when that happened. I was like, that's interesting, you know,
uh-huh.
because I love stand-up comedy. And
yeah.
and I, when I had the kid being born, I had stopped doing it for a little bit.
Were you doing instead?
Yeah.
I wasn't aware of that.
I had my own talk radio show in Las Vegas, the Steve White Morning Jump Off. I mean,
well,
I was
aware of that.
Yeah, I would do comedy, but it wasn't like I was as hungry as I was before or even now. And now I'm back to being just hungry about it, you know what I mean?
Right, right. So and so comparing the two, you prefer the stand-up routine and the traveling and the whatnot as opposed to doing the radio show? Or is that a fair comparison?
Yeah, I would probably say I like the stand-up and the acting more than the radio, even though the radio I was damn good at because they left me alone and I was able
mm-hmm.
to do whatever I wanted to do. And then all of a sudden they said, well, we got to get a PD in here, and the PD had his own ideas, and next thing you know, the numbers go down.
Yeah.
And
PD, for those, is a program director. Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, I am talking about a program director.
Okay. Okay. Steve. This is
yes.
Blog Talk Radio. Would you be up for taking a couple of calls from some anonymous people?
Sure, absolutely. Bring it on.
Okay. You hesitated there, but let's see. We've got a couple folks standing by. And let's see. Yo, 347. You're on the air with Steve White.
Good morning, Steve White. How are you?
Fantastic, whole, and complete. How are you, 347?
I'm fine. Actually, aren't you the Steve White that was in the Spike Lee movie? Didn't you have a big part in the Malcolm X movie?
Yes. Yes, it is.
This. Oh, hey, Steve. How you been?
I'm chilling. How are you?
It's Cassandra. It's Cassandra.
Do you have a
it's Cassandra.
Question here?
I'm under Steve.
It's
Cassandra Calloway, Steve White.
This is Sergeant Calloway?
Cassandra Calloway.
Oh, hi, Cassandra. What's going on, love?
Hey, friend, I was on Blog Talk, and I saw that you were on, and I had to take a listen. So congratulations.
Get out of here.
Yes, and Carol, great show. I also have a show on Blog Talk. I was actually doing some work for my show next week, and I saw Steve on it, and I had to call in.
Excellent.
Well, that's fantastic.
Yeah, what's the name of your show again?
My show is called Caliwood, and it's on every other Saturday on Blog Talk. Actually, this Saturday is my next show.
Okay. We'll tune in to that.
Steve, I just wanted to say congratulations. I've been following you. I've come to shows of yours. The guy can burn. He's got some talent, and, you know, you and your wife. I haven't seen you in a minute, but we just reconnected on Facebook. And, you know, do your thing.
Yeah.
And I guess I'll be calling you to do my show in a couple of weeks. I got to give you at least 30 days for this one to air down, you know.
Well, if you can always promote it, and we'll promote yours on, you know how that works. Okay, but thank you for calling, and I'll.
Well, what I'll do is I'll friend you, Kara, Steve, man. You gotta keep doing your thing. I'm gonna keep listening. I just wanted to just say hey.
Great. Thanks for calling.
All right. You got
All
it,
right.
man. Bye bye.
All
right. That was sweet. Look at that. I know somebody out there in Cyberwood. Good
how
friend,
about
Cassandra.
That?
Ah.
How about that? Now, somebody else was just holding, and I guess they got a little nervous saying, oh, my gosh, they really do take the call. So they just dropped, and then there's some other people who we have little prompts that show that they want to talk. We have others who are listening. So hello, listeners, and I'm happy that everybody's listening. Also, we're pretty much, I don't know, I think we've actually gone past a little bit this 30-minute allotment. I do appreciate you not being aware of that. And just going with the flow.
Yeah. Well, you're so engaging, you know.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. But I just a couple more questions here for you. Is bike riding a hobby of yours? I noticed on the info that you sent, you mentioned bike riding.
Well, on September 24th, I will be on my carbon fiber Kestrel bicycle. And I'm going to ride the entire length around Lake Tahoe because I'll be working up there at the Improv.
Mm-hmm.
And on that morning, which is my birthday, so send vibrations. I'll be the guy who looks just like me riding around Lake Tahoe.
Okay.
By the way, that's 72 miles.
I'm going to say. So how far is that? And this time of year, Tahoe, what's the temperature there? Or is that time
actually,
of year?
It'll be like nice fall weather. You know, it'll be nice. It'll be sunny and
mm-hmm.
direct sun, but it'll be cooler than the summer because, you know, you have the high elevation. So,
right.
And I did the AIDS ride twice, which is a bicycle ride from, what is the AIDS ride? I'll get it. Just give me a second. From San Francisco to Los Angeles. That's what it is. San Francisco to Los Angeles. So I've done that twice.
Okay. All right. I've got a couple friends who do that. I'm a bike rider, but I'm not sure that I ride that distance. Plus, you know, I'm a working girl. I can't actually get away to do that kind of a ride. But that's great. But what I was wondering was, you know, we were talking earlier about keeping the muscles in shape and et cetera, and I know we were talking about the thinking muscle and the comedy muscle, but would you say that, well, of course, staying in shape is good, period. You know, in general, staying in shape is good. But do you think that actually being physically fit has any advantages for your career? You know, I mean.
Yeah, because you never know when you're going to have to run from a heckler.
There you go.
You know?
Ducking and dodging things being thrown at you.
Yeah.
Beautiful. That's great. All right. Well, listen. Here's some really silly questions, and these come from the lame I dare you to ask him chat room questions. They're really lame, but I'm being dared to ask, and so I'm going to ask, and hoping that you'll make something funny of it, although I'm not telling you what to do. But anyway, so do people often ask you if Slappy White is your father? Uh-huh.
Yeah, and Barry's my uncle.
There you go.
Really? That was on there? Wow. Yeah, I get that every now and then, but normally from somebody who's not that funny.
Oh, okay. You got it. And here's another one. It
Slappy.
Was... What?
I just repeated Slappy's my uncle.
Yes. Oh, he's your uncle. No.
Yeah.
And, okay, here's one more. Really, I'm being dared to ask, so I am asking. I'm axing. Do you ever have any jokes about that one? Let's change it. Do you have any jokes about that one, the axing and you know, the mispronunciation of the word ax?
Well, if you're chopping up a body, you're probably saying it the right way.
Yeah.
Not really. I'll just go with the not really on that one.
Yeah,
unless you lead me down the road a little bit further, then I could jump off.
No, I don't have anything on that, because that one I take seriously. I mean, it really does bug me when people can't even put the simple letters A, S, and K. You can't be more phonetically simple than an A and an S and a K, and people can't get that right.
There's some people that do the N-O-W, and they pronounce it noun. Like, so noun, I'm going out to my house. Really?
Yeah. I might get more with that one, but the axe. Anyway, all right. Let's give you time to promote some of the things you've got going on, and then we will calmly let you go.
Well,
you got a website. You got some stuff. Yeah.
My website is www.steveaintwhite.com. steveaintwhite.com. Get it? Chuckle, chuckle,
get
chuckle.
Yes.
I'm going to be in Lake Tahoe from September 23rd through the 27th. So it's my birthday. So come on out if you're in that part of the world, and if you're not, Southwest flies there, and you're free to roam about the country.
There you go.
Thank you. And I'll be in Vegas the week before that, September 15th through the 19th or whatever. So I'm in Vegas then.
Okay.
So always doing stand-up. You can find out where I am in the world on the website.
Okay. Oh, Steve, I cannot believe that just happened. He's probably going to call back any second now if he realizes that he's not on the air any longer. That was pretty appropriate. In other words, folks, we just lost that call. But he was about to say that if you go again to steveaintwhite.com, actually, I don't know what he was about to say, but I'm going to fill in and presume that he was about to say, if you go to steveaintwhite.com, you will be able to click on something there. Yes, here he is. You'll be able to click on.
Did you do that?
Say, no, I did not do that. I did not do that. I looked up and I said, oh, ooh. And I said, how appropriate.
That
I think
racist
the phone,
phone.
Is, yeah, I think the phone is aware of the clock.
The phone,
and,
knows what, the phone knows what I'd be absent.
I think so. So I was trying to fill in for you, and then I said, well, no, you've already told me. I don't know what you were going to say, but you were going to say, I believe, something to the effect that we could find out where your performances are. And there's, you've got a plethora of things going on your website there. You've got items you've got for sale, et cetera.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, DVDs and CDs and buttons. Again, I have twins, and they're going to school in L.A. So that means private school, obviously, because Arnold Schwarzenegger did such a bang-up job.
Ouch.
So, yeah, daddy's on the grind. Daddy's okay. On the grind.
All right. Well, hey, Steve White, it has been a pleasure. I and my listeners and Miss Calliewood, we all thank you for stopping by. Please, if you'd like to stop by again, the door is open for you. And there you have it.
Well, I certainly appreciate it. Thank you to you and all of your listeners and viewers and however this internet thing goes with you kids in this internet. You know how to find me, so just hit me up and we can do it anytime you like.
Oh, absolutely. Great. And so on that note, I'm actually now going to take control, and I am going to hang up on you this time and do the closeout for the show. So in a click, you're gone. Thanks again, Steve. Take care.
All right, babe. Take care. Mwah.
Uh-huh. And to everybody else, yes, so I wasn't kidding. As you know, we filled in the time, and I know you guys probably didn't believe me because he was late, and because when we do the Dead Horse Comedy Hour, we always start out like it's a real skit, or we don't always do it, but we sometimes start out like it's a real skit, and then it goes into something that's not a real skit, and you guys are confused. But I told you, we really meant it this time. I do appreciate everybody who has been listening, and thanks to the caller, Miss Calloway. I'm sorry, I didn't catch the whole name, but her show is Calliewood right here on blogtalkradio.com. You have been listening to the Dead Horse Comedy Hour. I'm Carla G. We just completed the interview with Steve White. Thank you guys for listening. Oh, and by the way, you can also catch the podcast at my other website, which is lookmaproductions.com. I hope you guys will tune in again this Sunday for I'm Just Saying, where we're going to be talking about prostitution. Oh, yeah, you heard it right. And anyway, again, on that note, folks, thanks for listening. You all take care.